This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 165. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Victory in the War of the Green Lanterns, Golden Age Birds of Prey, The Dark Knight is in a Hurry, more Flashpoint Roundup, and Back to the Dollhouse. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, July 17th, 2011. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. I forgot for a minute. Now, just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. And you can subscribe via iTunes, where you can leave us a review, please.
And you can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
I'm sorry I got distracted, Mark.
That's okay. Green Lantern, number 67, by Johns, Mankey, Alamy, and Champagne. So the War of the Green Lanterns concludes.
Yay!
And Kyle draws the Crayola Squad out of the Book of the Black. So I don't know when Kyle became Gumby.
Or got a magic purple crayon.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of goofy. But Krona grabs all the rings, so he's now got the whole spectrum of rings to attack with, and Hal's in deep trouble. And Sinestro, for whatever reason, is given a green ring by the Guardians.
Well, they sort of explain that later.
So Hal fights off Krona and kills Krona, and the Guardians are released, and they immediately take away Hal's ring for killing Krona. Even though Krona was just about to kill the Guardians.
Yeah, well.
The Guardians just don't seem to get it. Time and time again, they do the wrong thing. And yet again, giving the green ring to Sinestro. Remember how that went last time, Guardians? Don't you have everything recorded?
Well,
maybe review your minutes from a previous meeting.
Yeah, but you got to have something to drive the plot.
I suppose.
Why do the Guardians have to exist? Could the Green Lanterns exist without the Guardians?
It's unclear that perhaps the Guardians actually power the actual Lanterns. It's never been really explained very well.
Because otherwise I don't see why the Green Lanterns would put up with them.
Yeah, this just seems strange. I mean, you're giving a ring again to a guy who one blogger referred to as Space Hitler.
Yeah.
His name is Sinestro. You don't get a name like Sinestro for being a nice guy.
Maybe sinister means something else in his language.
Means
remember,
butterflies.
Earth is not the only planet.
True.
And English is not the only language. I have to admit, I won't be sorry to see this one start over in the new
right.
52.
Yeah.
We'll see what it goes with it. I'd like to see that guy Gardner that's the pacifist running the bar in Australia. That's what I want to see.
But it wouldn't be that exciting a comic necessarily.
Well, except that, like the old Warriors, if the bar always drew trouble and he had to deal with it, that would be a real interesting concept, I think.
Well, that's true, yeah. He could just be like this.
I mean, even though he's a pacifist, it doesn't mean he couldn't be violent.
True.
If it warranted. I just like Guy Gardner. He's my favorite Green Lantern. That's all.
Okay. Birds of Prey, number 14, by Andreyko, Tucci, Mello, and Mayer. So Black Canary and Lady Blackhawk join the Golden Age Phantom Lady at a veteran's home. Now, of course, Lady Blackhawk is from World War II, and Dinah's mother was active in World War II as well. So there's the connection there for all of them for World War II.
So how did Lady Blackhawk get here as a young woman then?
They've never explained that well at all. Perhaps something having to do with being frozen in a block of ice a la Captain America.
Okay.
I don't know. Now, what's interesting is they're referencing in here and they're talking to Golden Age Phantom Lady, but she wasn't referenced a lot in the Freedom Fighters series that was recently on. Because there's now a new Phantom Lady.
Right.
And it's strange that she wasn't really referenced a lot in there. I wasn't aware she was still alive.
Alive, right. In the comic world.
In the comic book. Right. In the continuity. So the book cuts back to 1950 with the Golden Age Black Canary, Lady Blackhawk, and Phantom Lady on this special mission. And of course, as you will, you run into Nazis.
Well, it was a mission to catch a Nazi,
right,
that moved to South America.
Right. If you're in South America in the 1950s, you're going to run into Nazis.
Yes.
So then we cut back to present day, and Phantom Lady runs into a veteran who just happens to be one of the Nazis. And the old Nazis kidnap Phantom Lady and Lady Blackhawk because they want to resurrect Hitler, as they always do.
Now, what powers did Phantom Lady have?
She could, like, fire blasts of light and all this.
So would she still have those powers now?
Presumably.
Okay.
Now, what powers Lady Blackhawk has other than ability not to age as quickly? I guess that's about it. She didn't like she has any special powers other than
super
that.
Sexy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But somehow they're going to take their life energies and resurrect Hitler as
Nazis are wont to do.
Exactly.
Yes. I liked it.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I very much enjoyed it.
And they took the current main characters, Oracle and Huntress, and they were in the book, but they're kind of almost in cameo.
Yes.
So I thought it was interesting.
There is going to be a Birds of Prey in the new 52.
Yes.
We'll see how that goes.
Right. Because, of course, there won't be an Oracle anymore, or at least Barbara won't be Oracle.
And there won't be a history of freedom fighters in World War II.
Right.
So what about Lady Blackhawk?
Yeah. She'll disappear, presumably. Again, I think you're going to see characters like that show up on other Earths sometime next year. They're going to reintroduce, I'm pretty convinced now, multiple Earths again, which I don't have a real problem with. I thought that really compartmentalized things well than trying to jam them all into the same continuity.
Yes.
All right. It's time for the old Flashpoint Roundup.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Booster Gold number 46 by Juergens, Rapman, Guerra, and Jose. So Booster is fighting Doomsday in the Flashpoint continuity, not having much luck against him. And this woman, Alexandra, shows up to help, and we learn she can copy others' powers temporarily, a la Rogue from the X-Men.
Or Black Alice.
Or Black Alice, although she generally
does
only
magic-based
okay. powers. And that's how Alexandra got all the way across the country to help him, because she temporarily absorbed or copied Booster's flight ring capability.
Yes.
So apparently she can actually not only innate powers, but also gadget-based powers.
Right, because Booster is all based
on gadgets.
Gadgets.
It's a flight ring. It's a Legion flight ring. So she can somehow absorb that.
I wonder if they just messed up.
Or maybe that's how they're going to do it, because that would be very different from Rogue. As far as I know, Rogue can't absorb gadget powers. It only innate powers.
Well, then couldn't she absorb powers from, like, an airplane and fly?
Well, I presume it's only based on people who have powers, rather than just inanimate objects that have powers.
But it's the people who are using the gadgets. So what's the difference between Booster using a flight ring and a pilot using an airplane?
It's comic books. It's complicated.
All right. take that, I
so,
guess.
So she's also absorbed Booster's power gauntlets that fire these blasts, so she ends up blasting Doomsday.
Why can't she absorb Doomsday's powers?
Well, that's a good question. I'm guessing that's what's going to happen here.
Okay.
So, meanwhile, General Adam has taken control of Doomsday again, because until this point, Doomsday was on his own and just wreaking havoc. But Doomsday knocks out Booster. It's not looking good. This is really more of a fight issue than in really learning anything other than a little more about Alexandra, who everybody believes at this point is going to be somehow brought over by Booster into the main continuity.
Right.
And that she, in fact, may be the mysterious other member of the JLA that they haven't said who it is.
Then Booster puts the control helmet back on Doomsday.
Right.
So that the general can take over.
Yes.
But then the general's going to kill him anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So again, we have somebody who saves somebody and then wants to kill them.
Right.
A theme. Mm. This week's theme.
This theme. Flashpoint, Citizen Cold 2 of 3 by Collins. So the rogues break out of Iron Heights and their target is Captain Cold's sister, who's also, at least in our continuity, known as Golden Glider. Captain Cold is having his interview with Iris West and ends up setting up a date with her. Pied Piper finds Wally's body, and it's kind of at least inferred that they were lovers.
Now, see, I didn't get that at all. I'm going to have to go back and look.
Because we know Pied Piper in our continuity is gay.
Yeah.
So, and at least that's what I got out of it. Maybe I'm misinterpreting it.
I'm looking again. I can't even find that.
So the rogues and Captain Cold have it out. Big fight. And at the end of the fight, somehow Captain Cold his car is thrown or something. Somehow his car ends up crashing right by Iris where they're supposed to meet for their date. And so we'll see what happens in the next issue.
And he came out like almost dead or something?
Yeah. But he made it to the date.
He wasn't late like the Flash.
That's right. Darn it.
Well, it says, I would love to have been there to see Piper find his best friend dead.
But when Piper actually finds him, maybe I'm misinterpreting it.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe not. I don't know. We only read the two Flashpoint titles this
week. There were a couple others. I'm not collecting all of them because
There's too many.
I mean, DC definitely overdid it.
And they don't all have a strong tie together.
Right. It's just a separate storyline that just happens to be going on.
Yeah, quite frankly, I don't know what this Citizen Cold has much to do with anything either.
It doesn't, except that I figured being a Flash villain, he would actually be more closely tied into what was going on.
And yet we've read two of the three, and it doesn't tie into...
Other than Wally being there.
Yeah, but he's dead now.
Yeah, exactly. Dollhouse, Epitaphs number 1 from Dark Horse by Chambliss, Whedon, Tanchardon, Richard, Owens, and Madsen. This is a follow-up to, of course, the Fox TV series.
Did we read a preview of this or
something? There was an issue zero.
Okay. I was thinking, hey, I remember this.
Yeah. There was an issue zero. So, although it's certainly not set up this way, I'm wondering if this could become a new season-based comic book a la Buffy. I mean, it's unclear whether this is a miniseries or what this is. Maybe it officially is a miniseries, but it certainly doesn't indicate that on the cover or anything. So, if you didn't watch the show, you won't understand this title because they really kind of drop you into the middle of it and don't give you a lot of prep as to what happened.
Right.
So if you didn't watch Dollhouse, don't buy this title or go get the series on DVD or streaming or whatever and watch that first, and then you'll understand what's going on here. So the Rossum Corporation has essentially destroyed humanity, and Alpha is training a survivor to fight Rossum, and it's this kid. These multiple Ivies are along for the ride. Again,
well, all the Ivies were supposed to also bring a recruit to train.
Right. But only one of them actually made it with the survivor.
Yes.
So they decide they need to find Echo, who's going around the world freeing all the actives from the dollhouses around the world. And the kid is feeling remorse for killing because they're training him in all these various modes of combat, and one of them is small arms, and he takes out a bunch of these other people who technically, well, they're still people, but their minds have been wiped out by this device, and that's what's happened to most of humanity at this point.
And really, they're not actually training him. They're loading him with modules that make him know how to
do these things.
And
meanwhile, a transmitter is hooked up apparently in the Hollywood Hills somewhere to send this broadcast message to take over the people who are left. And it takes over at least one of the Ivies.
Now, this did introduce a concept that wasn't talked about in the TV series, which was these people who are sending this, who are possessed and who are sending this signal that was transmitted. We don't know what that signal is going to do.
Right. Right.
That wasn't part
of
the
clear.
TV series.
Right. We'll see how this series goes. I mean, Whedon's involved, and so we'll see what happens. Batman The Dark Knight number 3 by Finch, Williams, and Friend. I'd say the story is okay. The art is good. But it's clear they're rushing to finish this pre the New 52. From what I've heard, there's going to be like more than one issue coming out next month of this, just to knock out this storyline, because it's going to be restarted again like everything else.
Well, this is issue number 3. So was this just a new series that they started?
Yep. And it's been delayed.
Oh, and this was one they started after the whole Batman coming back thing, right?
Yep.
Ah, okay.
So you see in here lots of splash pages, a la Jim Lee's All-Star Batman and Robin, another title that had problems getting out there because the artist couldn't keep up. And clearly this shows that DC didn't tell their creatives to prep for September.
Well, when you consider how far ahead they have to plan what they're going to do.
Right.
I'm not saying I think it's okay or a good thing or anything, but probably some of these artists and writers work out like a 10-issue arc or something like that, and they might have done this in December.
Sure, but it seems to me, though, is that the writers, especially the ones who may not be involved in the new stuff, we're basically told at the time the press releases went out.
Well, yeah, and that was bad.
So they didn't have time to adjust their trajectories of their stories.
Yeah, so I'm not blaming the artists and the writers. Mm-hmm. I am blaming the DC editorial.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So
even though we're saying, oh, you know, they're rushing it, they're doing this, they're doing that, it's not the writers' fault.
Oh, it's not the writers and the artists. Absolutely not. It is, in fact, as you said, it's the DC editors. It's DC management who decided not to tell people that this was going to come. Or maybe they told them but didn't give any enough details for them to go, okay, well, this is just another event. Who cares? I'm not going to change what I'm doing in my storyline because of that. Because
yes,
they didn't tell them enough information. Before we get out of here, I think it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready.
Have you seen anything about it?
No.
Okay. Go.
Is it TV related?
No.
Is it movie related?
Yes.
Okay. So is it a movie that's coming out?
Yes.
But it's not out yet?
That's correct.
Okay. It's not, well, then it's not Harry Potter.
It is not Harry Potter.
Well, is it genre related?
Yes.
Is it fantasy?
No.
Science fiction?
No.
Superhero?
Yes.
Ah, okay, superhero. Is it a DC hero?
No.
Okay. So it's a Marvel hero then?
Yes.
Okay. And it's a movie coming out. It's too early to be talking about Avengers, I would think.
I would think.
Okay. So, Spider-Man?
Ah, yes. It is Spider-Man.
Ooh, okay.
You know who it is?
I don't have a clue who Spider-Man is.
Okay. I'll give it to you anyway. You got Spider-Man. Okay. I guess that's okay. You'll learn more about Spider-Man in upcoming months.
The new guy.
It's Andrew Garfield.
Of course.
They really like him as Spider-Man.
Okay.
You can look.
I will take a look.
I think he looks kind of Twilight-y.
Yeah, I'd say kind of Twilight-y. I would give you that.
I guess that's the new in thing for young actors,
yes.
That Twilight-y look.
Yes.
Sigh.
Sigh. I want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs, and you can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.